Welcome to Rising Moon Astrology. This is Mary Pat Lynch of Rising Moon Astrology. Welcome. In addition to this podcast, I have a website at risingmoonastrology.com where you can find information about readings that I offer and how to contact me if you'd like to explore astrology one-on-one. I also am on Facebook and Instagram if you want to follow me there. Currently, I'm podcasting for each new and full moon, but I do write shorter posts that I put on the website and Facebook and Instagram and can be mailed to you directly if you sign up for my mailing list on the website. So there are lots of ways to follow me, learn about what I do, and learn more about astrology, especially the astrology of the moon and her cycles. This is my overview for the waning half of the lunar cycle that we now find ourselves in after the full moon in Libra. As I said for that full moon, we're in a part of the year where typically we anticipate calm moons. Supportive moons, lovely moons, certainly moving as we typically do at this time of year from the full moon in Libra about harmonious connection with others toward the new moon in Taurus, that quiet, steadfast, growth-supporting, sensuous new moon, we expect lovely things. And yet, we find ourselves once again in a chaotic situation because this most recent full moon in Libra was not the quiet, calm, harmonious, supportive one that we might typically expect. Nor will the new moon in Taurus be one either. For the new moon that we're heading toward is conjunct Uranus, which is the all bets are off planet. We're in a time of great change signifier. And a heads up that as we move through the next few weeks approaching the new moon in Taurus, things are not going to be what we would typically expect. And this is something we already no. We are currently still within the full moon phase, and the moon today is in Scorpio. It's always interested me how we move into that harmonious, relationship-oriented sign of Libra, and then immediately follow it with Scorpio, ruled by Mars anciently and Pluto modernly speaking, and a sign of depth and mystery and things to explore that we don't always want to face. But that's where we are today. And very early tomorrow morning in my Eastern time zone, 4:05 a.m. on Saturday, April 11th, we will enter the disseminating moon phase with the moon in Sagittarius. Within that phase, we reach the waning trine. The moon will also be in Sagittarius for that on Sunday, Easter Sunday, April 12th, at 7:46 a.m. This Sag moon will trine the Sun and Eris in Aries. We're going to get a clear look at where we are, even as the Sun and Eris will apply to square Pluto. On Tuesday, April 14th, we will reach the last quarter moon in Capricorn. And once again, we will be brought face to face with our current situation, the Sun sitting with Eris, the chaos goddess, will square the moon, who will be sitting right between Jupiter and Pluto in Capricorn. We've got to deal with what is in front of us, whether we want to or not. On the 17th of April, we'll reach the waning sextile moon. The moon will be in Aquarius then. The Sun will have moved past that goddess of chaotic disruption to trine Ceres and the moon. We're moving into a different understanding of what will be happening in terms of how we act and how we act out. By the time we reach the balsamic moon on Saturday, April 18th, the moon will be in Pisces. This will be an intense balsamic moon, though, because the Sun will be in the final degree of Aries. So that before we reach the new moon in the midst of the balsamic phase, we will, in fact, change sun signs and leave Aries season and enter Taurus season. As I mentioned, when we get to that new moon, it's going to be conjunct Uranus on Wednesday, April 22nd at 10:26 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. So what are we looking at with all of this? What is our journey? I mentioned when we looked at the waxing cycle that because we started with the new moon in Aries, that we were traversing the first six signs of the zodiac with the moon. And this time, naturally enough, we will be doing the same thing with the final six, beginning with Libra, in Scorpio today, as I indicated, and moving through the remaining signs until we get to Pisces and Aries for the moon, the Sun leaving Aries behind, until we get to Taurus. So this is an excellent waning cycle to contrast, to think about how you're relating to these last six signs of the zodiac. These are the more outer-oriented signs, the outer-oriented houses, which seems crazy to say about Scorpio, for example, being so inward, and yet it also relates to other people's stuff, other people's money. So as a general practice, I would offer the idea of paying attention to which sign the moon is in. And how that's touching your birth chart and how you're feeling. Now, granted, how we're all feeling is not typical, but that makes this a good time to check in because it's still the moon moving through the same signs it does every lunar month. I wanted to share something else that I heard from other astrologers that is an insight for me and possibly one for you as well. The astrology podcast does a monthly overview. And the monthly overview for March and the monthly overview for April were quite different because the world changed in front of our eyes, under our feet in that month. The seeds of change were planted long before, and yet that's really when everything pivoted. So naturally, the three astrologers who do the podcast, Chris Brennan, Kelly Surtees, and Austin Coppock, were reflecting on that. And Austin, whose own site is austincoppock.com, said that his realization was that we could trust astrology's patterns even when we didn't foresee the specific events. As an example, he said that the markers indicated the strong possibility of a recession this year. Certainly very tight money. And this is something that I think many of us astrologers have been advising our clients about. What he didn't see, and most of us didn't see, was that the recession would be triggered and driven by a pandemic. Is the pandemic consistent with current astrology? Absolutely yes. Is it something that most astrologers pointed to as a distinct, realistic possibility? No. And yet, the astrological patterns, the idea of needing to be cautious and prudent and have good boundaries and be well prepared were indicated in the charts. So we can trust the advice, even if we can't foresee the specific configurations. Astrologer Nina Griffin said something very similar in a YouTube video and essay that she wrote about Boris Johnson's chart and his current struggle with COVID-19. And I'm not going to try to reproduce the whole thing here. It's a very interesting essay. But the point that was the same for me as what Austin Coppock had said is that she actually had spent a lot of time looking at Boris Johnson's chart because he had just won the election. And she couldn't figure out why the chart seemed to be so negative when, since he just won, things ought to be on an upswing for him. Well, now we know why. And again, we can trust the pattern without knowing the reason. So what I'd like to suggest for this is something to keep in mind for all of our own charts and transits, which is that in a time like this, we can all have a tendency to look at a transit and expect the worst. We can see dire happenings and go to places where we think we know what specific events are going to unfold for us. And I just like to sound a note of caution and say that just as sometimes we don't see bad things looming, that when we're already in a bad time, we can have a tendency to expect the worst and put ourselves there emotionally. So what I'd like to offer as a viewpoint and a practice is to absolutely consider the astrology. I find it interesting and useful and amazingly insightful in my own life. And yet, to avoid in this chaotic time the temptation to make very specific predictions about what you think might be coming up in your own life or in other lives around you. Now more than any other time I've lived through, we just don't know what's around the corner. And the thing about Uranus is, it is just as likely to be good as it is to be disruptive. And even the disruptive can bring us eventually to a good place. So we've got some fascinating astrology coming up. And as I post the individual updates for the different phases, I will be unpacking those a bit more. But for today, I wanted to give that brief overview. The understanding that this new moon we're going for is not going to be a typical Taurus new moon. And the idea that we are all in a place of unfolding, where we can see the patterns, we can get a heads up about what we might want to do to be prepared or avoid, and yet we can't see individual events. So please hold open the possibility for unexpected good, for happy surprise, and for the idea that even when bad things happen and we face difficult challenges, that unexpected grace can always be a possibility. This is Mary Pat Lynch of Rising Moon Astrology, wishing you the best possible waning moon cycle, filled with insight and appropriate challenge and successful encounters with whatever comes up for you. I know that this is a difficult time, and I wish all of us well. As always, thank you for listening.